What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Who You Got with
Mello
and Rado. It's a sports podcast where we talk about your favorite sports highlights, sports debates, and sports matchups. We got a hell of a matchup this week. It's UFC 274. And we're here to talk to you guys about it, right, Mello?
I know what it is, man. Favorite weekend of the month, fight weekend. I love my fights, man. And this card, like I said, UFC is what? Five months in the year?
Yep.
And they just keep throwing
Every month, banger after banger. Every single month has been a crazy card, and this one that doesn't disappoint. You got two co-main events that are going to be amazing, and then a third fight where it's very highly anticipated.
Known to have fireworks. Obviously, two belts up for grabs. You got the lightweight belt up for grabs and the women's strawweight.
Right. So what are we talking about today? What three fights are we going to be going over? We're going over the top three fights in the main card, obviously.
Of course.
UFC 273. And
We got a lightweight matchup between new favorite arrival into the UFC, Michael Chandler. I think he's what? 0-3 now?
Yeah, I mean, he has lost his last three fights, actually. So,
I think about it, but obviously, everyone knows ex Bellator champion, so everyone knows what he brings to the table. But his fighting style does put him in some trouble.
Yeah, he's a former lightweight champion, and then going against the former interim champion, Tony Ferguson, as well. So, that's going to be a crazy fight.
Definitely going to try to go in there, throw some bangers. Next fight, like I said, the women's strawweight belt is up for grab. We got Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose versus Carla Esparza 2.
And it's the second fight they fought. Yeah.
It's been a couple years.
It's been 5 years, actually. And last time they fought was when they had the tournament for the UFC strawweight women's tournament. And that was the championship, was Rose versus Carla the first time, and Carla won, so we'll see what happens this time.
Exactly, and then obviously the other main event, the main event, we got a lightweight belt up for grabs, Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje, and obviously once Charles beat Dustin Poirier, we all knew this fight was coming.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they was able to give it to him. That was a quick turnaround.
That's for sure. I mean, yeah, he took this fight in pretty much like 5 months, 6 months, let's say, because the last fight was November, so... Yeah, that's a pretty quick turnaround, I'll say, right?
Oh, yes.
So let's go ahead and get into it. I mean, the first one that we're going to talk about, Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. Incredible fight. I mean, you want to go ahead and break these fighters down?
We got the tell of the tape. Michael Chandler is 22-7. Tony Ferguson is 26-6. Chandler is 36, 5'7", 155 pounds, obviously lightweight, with a 71.5-inch reach. Ferguson's 2 years older at 38. Two inches.
Yeah, he's
taller.
Got a 2 inches on him. Yeah,
at 5'9".
Yep.
Obviously 155 and a 5-inch reach advantage at 76.5.
That's a huge advantage.
I feel
right
like
there.
Everyone in lightweight has a reach advantage on Chandler. He is a short, stocky fighter.
Yep.
Which is why he has a very aggressive, in your face type of style.
Yep, that's 100% sure. And the leg reach, of course, Tony Ferguson has by 3 inches, exactly. 40-37. But, I mean, like you said, Michael Chandler is that more stocky type of fighter. And Tony Ferguson, he's been here for a while, man. A lot of people know his style. People have seen him through the UFC throughout the years. Seen him at, like, the highest of highs, some of the lowest of lows. And, you know, he's coming into this fight going against a guy that, like you said, lost three fights in a row recently. And who do you think's got this one, though? Who do you think's going to take it? And also, who's got the advantage, like, throughout the fight?
It's actually crazy because both of these fighters actually lost their last three in a row. But one of them's actually a rising up-and-comer.
True, Chandler.
And the other one, honestly, if he loses one more, it just might be a question on whether they're going to sign him again.
That's what everyone's talking about. They say if he loses this fight, then it's most
he's
likely...
He's old, he takes too much of a beating, and it's a extremely stacked division. So at this point, we'll have to see what that contract's looking like. But yeah, it's funny because, like I said, both 0-3 in the last three fights, but still trajecting in two different ways when it comes to their career. So this is a very, very, very important fight for both of these fighters. Chandler has to find a way to not become 0-4.
I mean, that's for sure. But the way that they lost, like, their previous fights is why they're, like, in this fight together. I mean, Chandler, you know, he didn't lose in, like, a terrible fashion. You know, he wasn't beat down the last time he won. I think this is going to be a decent fight, you know, going in. Obviously Chandler had like three fights last year, so he had one in January, May, and then November against Gaethje, and that's where he lost the last big one. But if you looked at that Gaethje fight, he looked like he was actually he had the advantage in the first round, up until obviously the second round came in and Gaethje started really going in, heading in the middle and started punching him with right hooks and actually getting in his face. But Chandler, like, he does look like he's on a different trajectory than Tony Ferguson. You're right. Tony Ferguson looks like he's actually, you know, like, the way he's losing his fights is a beat-down fashion. He's getting bloodied up. Mm-hmm. He's getting punched up a lot, you know, and he's losing a lot of rounds, too. Oh, yeah. So he's not winning a lot of rounds. So I definitely agree with you there at that point.
Yeah, man, at this point, it's a great matchup on paper and in the cage, obviously. Mm-hmm. You expect both of them to be in each other's faces, yeah. Which is why everyone want to see this fight. Mm-hmm. They're both very effective strikers.
Like, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
even though Chandler got a short reach, he knows how to throw a punch. He's very accurate. He's efficient. Yeah. Throw good combinations. Will followed up with kicks if he's in range.
True.
Obviously, Tony Ferguson knows how to use those lengthy arms for, like, his unorthodox sort of combos coming in with the overhand right. He loves his little uppercut. So they're both going to pretty much be picking at each other all night. Mm-hmm. But obviously, even though Tony got the advantage in reach, mm-hmm. Chandler 100% has advantage in power.
Yeah.
And he definitely 100%. Is one of those fighters who can put your lights out 100%. He almost put Oliveira lights out when they fought for the belt.
Yep.
And like you said, in that first round, he if it wasn't Gaethje, that he was fighting, any other fighter would have definitely been put out with some of those punches that he was throwing.
Right.
So he definitely know how to use his advantage for his working when it comes to being in that short distance and just really knowing how to take punishment while you're dealing it.
That's for sure. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think this fight is definitely going to be start off towards the middle of the, you know, towards the middle of the octagon. They're going to try to stay up with each other, and it is going to be a bang out fight. Chandler, he can't really get emotional. He's got to use, like, his jabs. He's got to use his uppercut. That's very, like, people underrate his uppercut, and it's very nice. Like, he gets it. He'll get, like, very close to you and then just throw it very, like, quick. You won't even know, expect it or anything. But one thing about Tony Ferguson that I've read about, like, in his interviews coming up to this fight, he said that he's going to change up his style a little bit, and he's going to try to take it to the ground. He wants to work on his wrestling. He used to be a collegiate wrestler, so now he's going back into he got his old coach back, and he's trying to go more to wrestling style for this fight. He's going to try to take it to the ground because he knows that when he just stands up with people, it hasn't been working the last three fights. He's been getting bloodied up, and he hasn't been winning, you know, many stand up punching battles. So with this one, I think he's going to have to change up his style, and he even said that himself. He said that he's going to have to go back into his wrestling, you know.
I mean, it definitely should be the better game plan, especially because, like, one of his biggest strengths was, like, his knees and his elbows, mm-hmm. and at this point, they don't have the same pop they do when it comes to how he's throwing them. But at the end of the day, both of them come from very extensive wrestling backgrounds.
True.
So when it really comes down to them throwing for a couple exchanges, a couple big takedowns, scrambles, and all that, mm-hmm. I actually still expect Chandler to come out on top when it comes to those. Because 9 times out of 10, the shorter, stocky wrestler is a little better because of the center of gravity, always got a lower base. Like I said, both of them have very, very extensive wrestling backgrounds. So, yes, I do expect Tony to try a couple takedowns. Chandler will definitely try to keep it on their feet. Mm-hmm. They both will be comfortable on their feet, but
right.
I'll be honest, there's not really there's not many aspects in this fight that Tony can kind of gain an advantage.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, even though he's, like, starting to work on his wrestling, I don't see him really succeeding in that. Obviously, he's just getting back into it. And going against a guy like Chandler, I think you're right. Being the more stocky guy is going to help him in being on the ground more. Even playing from on his back if he happens to get taken down. So I do think that it's going to help him. But I think that they're going to try to keep it towards the middle of the octagon most of the fight. You know, it's going to be a few takedowns here and there, but I don't see, like, either one of these guys, once they get taken down, if another guy doesn't jump right on top of him, I see him just trying to get right back up. I don't see him wanting to keep a fight on the ground, you know.
Well, if Tony can get him down, then he's definitely going to try to pull a couple submission
attempts. Yeah, yeah, I think he's going to want to just stay on top of him, yeah,
yeah, I mean, use up his energy. He got 9 submissions in the UFC, so he's above average. A submission artist, so he definitely that's probably the one thing.
It's just we haven't seen it in a while. That's why, you know, we haven't seen it in years.
He don't have the pop. Yeah. Like, he don't have the assassin skills.
Yeah, that speed to like get exactly. somebody to take him down and really like hold him down.
At this point,
yeah.
he might just be outmatched, but submission and ground game probably is his best chance. You're right.
Yeah. So I mean, who you got for this one? This is gonna be a good matchup. I know that, like you said, both of them have lost the previous fight coming in, but I think this is gonna be a good win for one of these fighters. Who you think is gonna get it?
I mean, it definitely looked like a good and close fight on paper, but I expect this to be a second round TKO.
Yeah.
By Chandler.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I totally agree with you. I think it looks a lot closer on paper than it is in real life. And I actually have it the exact same thing. I had a knockout. I think it probably is going to last into the second round. If it, you know, maybe it could even end in the late first, you know. I could see it ending in the late first if Tony doesn't cover up correctly and if Chandler starts, you know, really getting him towards the cage. I know that Tony's a bigger guy, but I could see this being totally a knockout by Chandler.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be second round because, I mean, he's going to have some cardio and stamina in there.
Yeah.
Tony. So he's going to be able to keep his distance for a while, but then eventually he's going to keep getting picked at. And by the time it gets to that fourth, fifth minute of the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. You think that's when he started getting a little tired? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for sure. The younger guy is definitely going to have more endurance. So I definitely expect Chandler to come out and win this one. And, I mean, let's talk about this win for whoever wins this fight. What do you think it means for them? I mean, for Chandler, I know that...
We know what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to win this fight to get a title shot, honestly. He needs this win, Chandler. If he doesn't get this win, he's not getting a title shot in probably another year. Just the fact that this division is so stacked, you know. For Tony Ferguson, I think that this loss, it's pretty much going to be over in the UFC for him.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, they could give him...
He might be a Nate Diaz.
I was just going to say, they could give him somebody, you know, in the under, like, 10th ranking, you know, and between 10 and 20th ranking, somewhere between there. But I don't know. What about you? What do you think about these two fighters for whoever wins or loses? What do you think happens next?
I think Chandler actually has a good shot at the belt. His losses to both people fighting for the belt actually were entertaining fights.
Yeah, yeah. Up until, yeah, he got submitted, you know.
Like I said, Dustin and Justin needed their shots before him. Dustin got his. Justin get his this week. So at that point, I have no problem with him being next in line again if he beat Ferguson. Cause like I said, either way, Justin Gaethje versus Chandler 2 for the belt, amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be an amazing
fight.
That'd
be a nice fight.
That was fight of the year last year. Everyone loved to run it.
For sure.
And then, obviously, one of the other amazing fights was Oliveira actually winning the belt against Chandler.
Chandler.
I don't think anyone would have a problem seeing that again. So, yeah, I think he gets a chance for the belt. I think if Tony Ferguson wins, he still stays in top 10 contention, in top 10 fighters. Mm-hmm. If he loses, I think he just becomes the next Nate Diaz, or they just might keep him around, let him take some punishment. And win some fights or lose some fights, whichever way it goes, they don't even care.
Yeah, I mean, this is like his last fight under contract in UFC, Tony Ferguson. So we'll see if they give him maybe another 2-fight contract to finish off his career if he still wants to fight. I mean, depending on how this ends, if it ends early and it doesn't look good for him, I mean, it's gonna be interesting that they keep him in, or maybe he moves somewhere else, like I don't know, Pride or somewhere else. We'll see about that. But I just think that with this division, it's so like deep that I don't even know that if Chandler's gonna get the next fight is gonna be a championship belt with him. I mean, you got Dustin again, you got obviously Islam Makhachev, you got Darush, you know, you got a few guys that are like up in that division that are still like amazing. Obviously, Dos Anjos, he's, you know, he lost his previous fight, but he's still trying to get up, you know, in that division, and he's the sixth, though, right behind Chandler. So you got a lot of guys in that division that is going to be tough for Chandler to get the next fight against
the
champion.
You know what? You're right. So it honestly might be Chandler versus Islam.
I was thinking Chandler versus Dustin. That's what I was thinking.
That hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened. Nobody's seen it yet, and that could be a decent fight
That'll
for him.
That'll be a good one, and it'll keep both of them in top contention.
Yeah, because I think Makhachev might get a chance.
Whoever wins next might be next for Islam. But has Islam fought Darush?
That hasn't happened yet. No, Darush versus Makhachev. No, that hasn't happened yet.
But no, you're right. Islam might be the one next in line, especially if Oliveira wins. If, honestly, and it might sound crazy, but if Gaethje wins, I feel like it opens it up more for the opportunities. Mm-hmm. If Oliveira wins, he already beat top three.
That's true. He beat all three guys. Yeah, yeah.
At that point, Islam is 100% next in line.
Yeah, I think if Oliveira wins, then he'll get to pick his choice of whoever he wants. But we'll get to talk about that for sure later. I mean,
So I think Chandler has to fight Dustin next. That's a fantastic call out.
That'll be a nice fight. That'll be a nice little fight.
Dustin needs a good fight coming up next too. So
exactly, I could see it happening within the next 6 months. You know, they could fight in November again.
Oh yeah,
that could easily happen.
So
yeah, I mean, we both got Michael Chandler winning against Tony Ferguson. It looks like
second round TKO.
Yep, both got second round TKO. Make sure you bet on it.
Oh yeah, don't blame us if you
and don't blame right. Don't blame us. But no, I think most people really got the obviously.
People got a knockout.
Yeah, he's the favorite, so he's a big favorite, actually. Biggest favorite in the main card.
So, for sure.
I mean, the next fight is a lot closer, even though on the Vegas side of it. I mean, the way the fight might be in real life might not be, but in the Vegas side of it, it's a lot closer. And Rose, obviously, Namajunas fighting Carla Esparza in their second matchup again.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting the second time. 5 years ago, they fought. I brought it up in the beginning of the episode. They fought during the tournament for the strawweight women's title. And at that time, Carla won it. You know, Carla beat Rose. Rose was coming up real strong, though, in that tournament. And Dana at one point called her the next Ronda Rousey in that tournament. So, I mean, he was seeing her. He saw her potential. And obviously, Carla came out and beat her. But, since then, Carla... She won one fight as a champion, and then after that she lost. And Carla comes in with 5 wins in a row now.
Both of them have been playing. Both of them have been fighting pretty good lately on win streaks. Two different progressions. Yeah. One slower, one faster, but both have been progressing since that last fight. That's very true.
I mean, you would think that, like, Dana calling Rose, Ronda Rousey, would make her, like, get the championship quick and, like, keep it like that. But honestly, like, it was Esparza that, like, got it so quick. And she was, like, holding it for a second, you know, as the quicker one to get the championship. That's kind of like Ronda Rousey. But, I mean, so for Rose, it's been a long time, you know, to actually get the championship. And
then she lost it and got it back again.
Exactly.
The only woman to ever do that as well. But, yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah,
man.
Let's do it. I mean...
We got Rose 12-4, Carla 19-6. Rose is 29, 5'4", 115 pounds, with 65-inch reach. Carla is 5 years older at 34, 3 inches shorter at 5'1", 115, and two inch shorter reach at 63 inches. Like we said, the first fight, Esparza won.
Yep.
Obviously, both of them were way different fighters at that point in their career.
That's for sure.
Both have grown. Honestly, like I said, for Esparza, she won, then lost it to Joanna.
Yep, Joanna. And
in 2015.
Obviously, Joanna, like, she went up against Rose next, and Rose came out, and she looked hot, man. She looked hot against Joanna, and she took it. You know, she regained the title by beating her, and that's how she was able to get it back, which is crazy.
No, that's how she got the first time.
The first time.
Then she lost it again and won it again against Whaley.
Right, Zhang Weili is who she won it against the second time. You're right. Yeah, my bad.
Nah, knockout by a kick.
Yep.
But yeah, Esparza, since losing in 2015, she won 9-3. Obviously, like I said, a good progression, and in that same time frame. Honestly, Rose has pretty much cemented herself as one of the GOATs in women's MMA.
Yeah, you got to look at her that way, honestly, with her, the way that she wins, too.
Yeah, because she came back and beat Joanna twice, and beat Jandre after losing that. So she's pretty much...
And the way she beat Weili Zhang was incredible.
So right now, the only loss she hasn't avenged yet.
I mean, is this one. And this one was 5 years ago, which is insane. Like, if you think about it, like, it's been that long since these girls have fought, obviously, each other, these women.
You know, for sure. And since then, honestly, Rose has found a way to just nullify all the best strikers and best fighters in her division, and she's been using her striking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm blanking out on his name, but their boxing coach...
Rose's boxing coach is Trevor Whitman. He's been
Usman, Justin Gaethje's coach as well.
Yeah,
coaches, and all of them has improved immensely what they're striking.
Yeah,
and Rose has been putting up clinics. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at this point, Esparza has been doing really good, doing the same thing, just less flashy. But at this point, it's not even close when it comes to the clear advantage Rose has when it comes to on their feet, the kickboxing skills.
100% agree really with not you. Even close. 100% with that. But on the other side, Esparza was a collegiate wrestler.
Way
she was
more
a championship. She's way better on the ground. And when she's on top of you, like, she will try to, like, make sure you give up. Like, if you're on the ground and she doesn't even want to, like, get on top of you to start wrestling yet, she'll just make sure she's over you, trying to find, like, spots to get her punches before she even, like, starts, like, getting on top of you to wrestle you. So she wants to make you give up before she even, like, you know, makes you wrestle.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. In the first fight, I think she was 5-for-7 in total takes down. Mm-hmm. So it's clear to say that in the ground is where Rose do not want to be in this rematch.
Yep.
So she's definitely going to try to keep that fight standing up. And if she does get taken down, it's going to be real big urgency for her to get right back on her feet.
No, for sure. I think she definitely wants to do that. I mean, Rose is, like, her stand-up game is lethal. Like you said, her punches are lethal. She knows where to pick her spots. She's going to definitely try to, you know, pick her spots and move away from Carla, because she's got the reach advantage in this one. And I think that, you know, it's going to help her a little bit. Not much, but...
Yeah, no, obviously, Rose having just those couple inches really is going to be the dominant factor, because at the end of the day, she has to be light on her feet. In and out, landing shots. Like, we don't actually see a lot of women use their range the way we see some real tall, lanky fighters. Because at the end of the day, a lot of the women are kind of the same size. Like, when you see, like, Stylebender against, like, a Whitaker, you could see him just literally just enough to get his punches off and basically never back in harm's way.
Bit, yeah.
Rose is going to have to find a way to do that against Esparza. She has to be light on her feet, land combos with efficiency, and I hope to God that they lean so hard on Trevor Whitman this training camp, because her boxing and her kickboxing is going to, not only is it already top-notch, it has to be even better, because she has to keep herself away from those clinches, because if she can't find a way to at least get in a clinch, maybe throw some elbows and knees and show Esparza that she's not going to go down easily, it's not going
to
be good for her.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not only the clinches, but I think she's going to have to keep away from those takedowns, because Esparza, she's got, like, the highest takedown rate in women's UFC, and she probably is considered one of the best wrestlers in the women's division. I mean,
I'll be honest, in that division, she is the best wrestler,
but, like, in the whole women's division, I think that she is one of the best. And Rose has definitely gotten better at her wrestling, and I think that's one thing that Trevor Whitman said that he wants to help her with in this fight. He's helped her on her kickboxing, obviously, is really good, but she's still working on that. And then her wrestling in this fight, she's working on a little bit more. But I just think that, you know, this division has been so, like, deep, and as far as she's been, like, teeing off on most of the young women, like, most of the young literally, like, up and comers that have been some of the best fighters, like, had undefeated records, and she's been pretty much beating them all. She's got a five win streak right now, and she's coming in very hot right now. So I think that it might not be as a quick win as Rose think it's going to be, because she's going to try to keep it stand up. But I do think that, you know, the fight is going to be a 5-rounder, so it's going to be endurance wise. You know, you can want to have your endurance the whole time, but being on the ground, is you're going to lose that. And I think Carla knows that, so she's going to try to keep it there.
Yeah. And basically, it's going to be a fight of the wills. One person trying to keep it on the ground, one person trying to keep it on their feet, and whoever can keep themselves where their strengths are. We're going to see.
I agree.
This one is probably the closest fight on this card.
For sure. I mean, and I think that it looks like that for Vegas, too. And so, I mean, basically, who you got for this one? Because it is close. And, you know, we know that Rose has the power punches, but I think that Carla could take him, and she's shown that in the last few fights that she's had. Who you got for this one? Who you got winning it?
I mean, as close as the fight it is, until I see something different, I can't bet against Rose. Like I said, she lost the first fight, 7 years ago, but it's been clear that she's grown in so many ways, especially gaining the belt, losing the initial inaugural belt, gaining the belt, losing the belt, then gaining the belt again. Like, that woman has come through a lot of adversity. So basically at this point, I think she's going to come out prepared. And she's going to be trained, and I think she knows what she needs to do to win this fight. And while it ain't going to be easy, I definitely got her coming out at the decision.
Decision, yeah. Yeah. You know what? So you got Rose in the decision.
Rose in the decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, since Rose has been training with Trevor Whitman, I think that she's gotten so much better. Mm-hmm. She's progressed so much in her UFC career. And
oh, yeah.
I think that Dana actually was right. I think she could possibly be the next Ronda Rousey. This division is so stacked, and she's been able to like keep her belt for right now. And I think that she's going to have a lot of challenges coming up, this one as well. And I agree with you, actually. I think this is going to be a five-rounder. I think this is going to be a rout. I think both of these women are going to be getting at it. It's going to be a lot of blood on the mat. Mm-hmm. You know, they're definitely going to get bloodied. You're going to see some time on the ground as well. And since it's a five-rounder, you know, they're both going to be tired at the end of it. But I still think that it's going to be probably a 4-1 win for Rose. I think she's going to get four rounds. Carla's going to get one round in there. And Rose is going to come out with the championship again. Obviously, hold the championship, excuse me. Yeah. So we both got the same decision.
Yeah. I definitely got it a little closer in the rounds.
Yeah, okay.
I think Rose is going to be our toughest fight up to date.
I agree with that. I just don't know if like all the judges are gonna call like they're gonna call it as close, because I think even if it's on the ground,
them takedowns are gonna help.
Yeah,
them takedowns are gonna help Esparza.
Yeah,
she's gonna get a few.
I mean, I could see that. I could definitely see that. And you know, I agree with you saying that this is gonna be the toughest fight for Rose, because honestly, I would not be surprised if she loses.
Nah, me either.
I would not be surprised.
Just, as I said, until I see something different, I will not bet against Rose.
Right. Like I don't see this. I will
not be surprised if she loses.
I don't see this being a knockout, just because the style of fighters that these women are. So
because if Esparza could find a way to get a hold of her early and grind it out,
exactly, tire her out exactly, in the beginning, yeah, get a few knees to the face while she's on the ground, bloody her up or something like that.
No, for sure,
could be a totally different fight. But I mean,
I think that's why the upset wouldn't surprise me here. But like I said,
not at all. But skill-wise, we both got it the same. Yeah. I think we know that Rose has the most skills.
It's probably the worst matchup for her.
For sure. But I think we both think, and I think you can agree with me, that she's probably going to get the most significant punches in the fight. She's probably going to maybe even double the amount of significant punches that Carla gets. As long as
she can dictate that the fight stays where she wants to, then she wins.
Right.
But
yeah,
we don't know. Like, that's a case for a reason.
Definitely for sure. And I mean, that brings up the question, like, let's say, you know, she wins, or I mean, even loses. This is, like I said, this is one of the deepest divisions in the women's rankings, in the women's divisions. Who you got? Like, who you think is next for them? I mean, like, first of all, for Rose, and then for obviously Carla. I mean, I think that for me, Carla, if she loses, I think she's gonna have to fight somebody like Weili Zhang next. You know, gonna have another like 2-3 matchup. She's not gonna move down that much.
I think she's gonna move down more. Gets a belt.
You think it'll be a second fight with?
If Carla loses, I think Weili's next in line for that belt.
Nice. That would be a good fight to see. It was a bloody fight, crazy fight, one of the fights.
Weili was a favorite.
Yeah, she wasn't. I mean, Rose.
Forget, right?
Yeah, but Rose came out and she I mean, remember she knocked her out. She choked her out for like a whole like minute almost, and Weili wasn't tapping out for that minute when she was getting choked out, which is crazy at one point. But I think that, you know, you got Marina Rodriguez, obviously, and Mackenzie Dern, who are both, like, pretty good up-and-comers. Carla beat Mackenzie Dern recently, so I don't think that that's going to be another fight that's going to happen, but I could see somebody like Marina moving up and trying to fight Rose next. She's a fourth-ranked fighter.
Nah. I think that if Rose wins,
it's straight up Weili versus...
Straight up Weili.
Okay, so what about the other way around? What about if
Rose
loses... Yeah. I mean, you think it'll be Zhang versus Esparza?
I think Weili gets a shot no matter what.
Yeah, okay.
Besides Rose and Andrade, she's the best fighter in
Jessica Andrade, she's definitely a beast, yeah.
And Rose beat Andrade after losing to Andrade, so
exactly.
I don't think that's going to happen. But like I said, I think that will happen for Weili, because Weili was a favorite, and actually everyone thought at that time, not even 2 years ago, everyone thought at that time, that way Lee was a better fighter.
I mean, and she looked like it because the previous fight,
well, her against Joanna,
that was
probably one of the best woman MMA fights we've ever seen.
Exactly.
So a lot of people had Wei Li just huge, not huge, like Ronda, not huge, not Ronda, like versus Amanda Nunes. Versus
it was probably like a 350 plus or minus 350, something that's like what I'm that. Saying.
A huge upset. So I think a lot of people would like to see that again, especially because I think Wei Li's been trying to call for that again. Mm. So I think whoever wins or loses, Wei Li gets next. If Rose lose, I don't. That's a question. She just lost to Esparza twice. Do she get a shot again?
I don't know.
That's a question. I don't know. Still, you can't say and act like she's not one of the best.
No, I think that she will. I think she'll have to fight somebody like Rodriguez or possibly
fight a warm up fight,
because Rodriguez hasn't fought in a while as well. Like they've been keeping her, you know, keeping her waiting. Like if Whaley's gonna take a fight with her, nobody knows. That could be the next fight, next women's strawweight we see, but I don't know. I mean, if Whaley wants to wait for the championship, she probably does. Right. That's the most smart idea for her. But anyways, we both got this one as a Rose win. Mm-hmm. We both think that she's gonna take this one. And that brings us from one co-championship matchup to the championship matchup of the night.
Main event, lightweight belt up for grabs.
Let's talk about it. I mean, we got Justin Gaethje and Charles Oliveira. It's a great matchup. Mm-hmm. This is the deepest division, we've already said, in the UFC. And these two guys are number one and number two. And my man Charles Oliveira, he's been number one for a while now. And Justin Gaethje's been trying to get in there.
Yeah.
Last time,
since
you know,
he lost, he was his last loss was last belt. Yeah. He was the Eagles' last fight in the UFC.
I mean, the last time he tried to get the belt was to Nurmagomedov, and he had a chance, but obviously Khabib was just too much for him. You can't release that. And that's the night that Khabib retired.
That's the Eagles' last fight. This is supposed to be a banger, and it's been a long time coming. Let's talk about it, man. Mm-hmm. Lightweight main event, tell the tape. Charles Oliveira, 32-8-1 no contest. Mm. Justin Gaethje, 23-3. Oliveira is 32-5-8, 155 with a 74-inch reach. Gaethje is 33-5-9, 155 with a 4-inch short reach at 70. I'll be honest. The last two fights that Charles fought versus Dustin Poirier and versus... was it Chandler?
He fought Chandler.
Yeah, I picked against him.
Yeah.
and I'll be honest, I'm part of the reason, but he is probably the most underrated champion in the UFC right now.
I mean, he is, that's for sure. He comes out and sometimes like people don't give him as much credit as they should, and they put him as an underdog as well.
He's been an underdog for a
championship
while.
Like while he's a champion, they put him as underdog. So
that's... he's been underdog because of the beginning of his career. We keep not letting him forget.
I was gonna say he goes up and down. Like in the beginning of his career, he won, he lost, he won, he lost a lot of times. So people weren't really seeing like the progression, and they weren't seeing the streaks like a lot of the up and coming fighters get. But once he started figuring out the UFC, like you could see. To getting his championship and now holding it, he's definitely like shown so much potential, and he's gotten so much better.
Yeah, since 2018, 10-0, and 9 of them were finishes. And that's probably one of the best streaks right now, and no one's even talking about it because no one really cares. At the end of the day, he is extremely dangerous when it comes to a champion, and you got to start giving him his due respect. His greatest attribute at this point is just completely known, no question about it, his elite, prolific submission.
For sure. I mean, he comes in with the most finishes and the most submissions in UFC history.
Oh, yeah. Like, he at this point set himself apart from the pack when it comes to being a submission artist. And at this point, not even just in his weight class, like you said, with the records, he pretty much cemented himself as the most dangerous submission artist in the history of the UFC.
For sure.
And it's crazy because he also does an extremely, extremely good job on his feet. He's very, very athletic, his natural athleticism. Like, that's one thing where you don't really need to see it for fighters because it's not sports like college basketball or, you know, football where you see athletes, like just pure athletes. But one thing that John Jones had such a bigger attribute over everyone else was his athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% sure. That's why a lot of people loved him. They loved seeing a lengthy guy like him being able to move like he can. I mean, there was obviously another guy, Anderson Silva, that a lot of people loved in the UFC. His athleticism was off the charts. So.
And Charles is like this, but in a different style. Like, there's no way he should be that powerful at that size. He's quick as hell, agile.
Yep.
Very, very very flexible. Like, he can find a way to wrap his body around you.
That's like what I love about Charles Oliveira. Like, he is one of the most, like, crazy flexible guys. Mm-hmm. He wraps around you like a one of those little monkeys. Like that. And he's able to take you down from your back. Just, like, if he gets on your back, he can take you down easily. And submission's coming next, so you got to watch out.
Yeah, and on top of all those skills, he has shown and proven that he now has a chin.
I agree with you.
He has a chin.
In his last two fights,
just two fights, in his last two fights alone, he should have lost both of them if he didn't have the chin he had.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about it a little bit before, but, I mean, if you remember, he fought, like, Chandler, and he almost lost that fight. Like, if you remember that first few rounds, I think it was the first and second round. The first round, he definitely lost. And in the beginning of the second round,
he lost too.
Yeah, he was losing. And then, obviously, he came in and he grabbed him. He got him down. He was able to, like, hold him down and got the submission and then finished that right there. But
same thing with Dustin.
Yeah.
He was getting beat up the first round. And any other fighter would have been put out. And he came in the second round. Rode him, got a takedown, and Dustin didn't want to let him get any submissions, so Dustin just took the punishment the whole second round.
Yeah,
he was
taking it,
Didn't even move. Came into the third round, not even 10 seconds in, he's on his back submission.
Yeah, because Dustin didn't have any more energy at that point, because, you know, like, once you're down for the whole round, the second round, then it's going to be a problem,
But honestly, like we said, it's such a stacked division, but one of the other most exciting person in this division is Justin Gaethje.
For sure.
We talked about his style, walking people down, great boxing combination.
Not only that.
A good coach right now in Trevor Whitman.
Great coach. Not only that, he was started out as a collegiate wrestler as well.
Great wrestling skills.
This episode is going to be about collegiate wrestler, because honestly, like, there's three fighters in each one of these fights that is a collegiate wrestler and a champion at collegiate wrestling. I think this is going to be a huge thing for Justin to have in this one, because obviously, like we just said, Oliveira loved bringing people down, but if my man Justin knows how to wrestle too, it's going to be a big
fight. I think any fighter who fights Oliveira, sole purpose is trying not to let him get a hold of me.
I get that.
Even if you get on the ground at any point, like you said, where he's lanky, quick, athletic,
I get it, bendy, but
any part of you is exposed. He's getting that armbar.
I just don't think I don't think Justin is as scared as other fighters in that division. I know that Oliveira is lengthy and stuff, but I don't think that Justin is as scared because he has that background in wrestling and he knows how to, like, move away in certain positions. He doesn't have Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
That's also why Chandler wasn't scared. Mm. And Chandler sat there and won a round and a half just to get caught with two punches. Over
and
Justin will fight Oliveira how Chandler fought Oliveira. He's gonna be in his face. He's gonna, like, not let Oliveira breathe. He wants to not allow him to be comfortable.
You think it's gonna be more, like, stand up fight for him? Yeah, he wants to keep it up.
Justin wants to keep it
that's
up.
That's what I mean. Justin
and that's
wants
what he's
to.
Gonna try to push the pace for.
Yeah,
Oliveira's gonna probably be the one that tries to take a takedown or tries to get a submission, things like that. So I expect it to be a same type of style as the Chandler fight. Because Oliveira has shown that he'll stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not going to say here, oh, I'm a submission artist, so I'm going to let me try to take you to the ground. He'll stand with
you. But that's the thing. He'll pick a spot to take you down.
Exactly.
And the first few rounds, I do notice in his fights, he definitely likes to play, stay up. He likes to stay up, figure you out, let you waste your energy a little bit, staying up, move around the ring a little bit. And then he'll pick his shots to take you down. So he definitely does that. He doesn't go, like, right in that first round.
Nah, because he don't need to, because he got the skills on his feet, too.
And that's going to be interesting for me, is the endurance in this fight. Like, who's going to be able to, you know, have their endurance if this happens to be a five-rounder, you know, like, if they happen to go to decision, who will have the better endurance in this one? I think that, honestly, I think that Oliveira might have it. You know, it's going to be, you think that Justin has it?
So, I think Oliveira would initially have it, but Justin Gaethje's best strike is his calf kick.
Mm-hmm.
And he not only throws it hard, he picks perfect time for it and throws it with great efficiency. That's his most efficient strike.
Right.
He's going to be picking at that leg all night, trying to keep Larry off his game. Like, because to be able to shoot for them takedowns, you gotta have bounce. You gotta still have, especially on that lead leg. That's where you throw your punches. That's where you stand, especially for the jab. You have to lean forward to throw your jab. I think that while Oliveira technically does have the better cardio, I think Gaethje, like, and I don't even know if he has the better cardio, because Gaethje just straight walks people down for round.
The thing after is, Gaethje loves to use those power punches, though. That's his issue. Like, when he uses those power punches after that third, I mean, in championship matchups, I'm talking about. And honestly, Gaethje doesn't make it past like fourth or fifth round in championship matchups as much, because we haven't seen it from him as much as Charles. But you know, once he gets into the later round, he definitely gets a little more tired. I just think that Charles is definitely a little bit more underrated in his jabs and uppercuts. Like, his jabs are maybe not as good as Justin's for sure, but the uppercuts, he can definitely hold his own in that regard. And I definitely think that he's gonna try to keep this fight on the ground in the first few rounds. He's gonna try to take those strong shots early, and Gaethje's gonna try to keep that space and be patient with his shots. That's what he needs to do, at least. I think he needs to be very patient, not just go in and be headstrong and try to fight him, not use that, like, emotion and just use those strong shots in the beginning. Because I do think that if he lets Charles use those strong shots and try to waste his energy in the beginning, that's going to help Justin in the long run.
Well, that's also where the leg kicks come from. Yeah. Because it allows the opponent to be a little bit more stiff and less agile when you're walking them down.
Yeah.
So when you follow those kicks with those combinations.
Mm-hmm. Keep them in space. Keeps them in space.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
So that's definitely what he's going to try to do. Definitely. I hope Trevor, that's crazy. I just realized we have another Trevor Whitman.
I mean, that's crazy. Two of them.
He loves putting his fighters in the same card.
I mean, And you know what's crazy? They actually fought in the same card last time.
All three of them fought in the same card last time.
Yeah, they did.
Then right before that, it was Rose and Justin again.
So it was the last three times. You're right. They've been pretty much together.
It's just been hard to get the champ. It's been hard to get Usman on that same. But like I said, they got it in November.
Right. I mean, it's pretty much like a 5 to 6 month rotation with them, you know?
Yeah, they usually
go through.
So another thing, I hope another one of his pupils is leaning hard on his instruction and telling him to not leave some off of it.
True.
Just touch him. Just touch him
a little bit. Just and then touch him. Stay away a little bit. Pick your spot. Move back. I think the patience is definitely going to be key for him. And like I said, the endurance. So, I mean, the big question of the night, who you got for this one? Who you got is winning it? And also on what round or in decision?
I still don't know.
Man. I'm going to be honest. Like you said before, the other fight was probably the closest fight. The Rose versus Carla was the closest fight. To me, I think that this fight might be the closest fight of the night. Because I think that these guys, at this level, they're so close. Like, Justin has almost got there so many times. And the only guy that he looked like he was just way unmatched against was Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
The rest of the guys he can definitely compete with. And
but that's the same thing I said about Dustin.
And then Oliveira. I get it. But Dustin held his own for a little bit.
He did, and I'll be honest.
Those first few rounds.
So, I bet against Oliveira the last, like, 2-3 times. And I don't think I can.
Yeah.
And I really want, like, my mind says Oliveira, but my heart says Justin. Like,
yeah, man.
My heart really says Justin. Fuck.
You know what? I mean, it's crazy because, like,
I think I have to go with Oliveira.
Wow, you're gonna go with Oliveira.
I really
want
to choose Justin, but Oliveira is just nasty, man. And he's improved so much in the last couple of years. And I've seen levels that I didn't see from him in the last two fights that I thought I said something like I have to see this from him. And then he went and showed me it. And I was like, nah, but I still don't know if he could do this. And then he wanted to show it to me again, so I'm like, I can't bet against him this time. It sucks though, because I really think Justin could walk him down and get a KO.
That's one thing about Justin is he has that strong punch that could easily KO you at any time.
Walk him down and get a KO.
And the one thing about Justin, he's not like a big talker, really. He's not that big of a talker. I mean, neither is Charles, just because his English is not as well. You know, he speaks Portuguese, and you know, he's not like a. it's just not like two guys that are really that hate each other. But I do think that, you know, Justin is the type of guy that his matchup is pretty well with Oliveira because he can stand up and actually try to get a knockout against him. But for me, I just think that, you know, Oliveira just he's been the better fighter in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, I mean, even in the last 3 years, like he has the records, yes, but since he's gotten the championship, he's just looked so much better and better and better. He's improved and just so much.
Two fights, he's improved. The only other person I see improve in such a short span, Francis
Ngannou, for sure. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a great point right there. Yeah, I think that
like 2-3 fights, you've seen parts of him you've never seen before.
And we should have an episode on who's like the most improved UFC fighter. Two? Yeah, I mean, yeah, honestly,
they've shown both of them show great strides.
I think that, like, you know, Oliveira definitely had his submissions and his wrestling was there, but I think that his stand-up game
and the chin is what I needed to see from him.
100%.
I saw more, like, that's all right at this point. Justin can probably hit him with a couple shots and he's going to take them.
I think so too. And I think he's gonna hold down those shots. In the beginning, they're going to be standing up. It's going to be a stand-up fight. Like I said, I think that Charles is gonna try to take some strong shots, but he's not going to be able to get them. And I do think that Justin is going to try to be patient with it up until the second round, where Charles is going to start going inside, trying to get him down. And by the third round, you're going to see Charles really use his technique to bring Justin down. And that's where I think he just comes in and he shows his brilliance. I actually didn't bet against him my previous two fights. I bet with Charles because I thought that he was just an amazing fighter. I love his style of fight, and I think this is going to show it again. I got this in a third round submission. I think he's going to submit Justin in a third round, and it's going to be pretty prolific how he does it. But I do think the fight is going to look close in the first one.
Well, in the that's
first
no
round,
fun.
Well, first round, but I mean, yo, once he gets a hold of you, it's hard to get out of that, like rear naked choke or like an arm bar or something like that. It's tough to get out of that. I mean, as Dustin.
No, what I Dustin. Mean by that's no fun is for the first time in Who You Got history.
Oh wow! Let me guess. We got all of them the same.
We picked all three fights. Not I didn't even only notice the
that.
Same.
I didn't even notice that.
Same decision, same round. I also got third round submission.
What? Hey, yo! At least we can agree on something, because before the show we were talking. We were just having a little conversation about. We saw this little article about Conor McGregor and who he's gonna fight next, and we got into the biggest debate
we was
about
going
that.
So at it.
It's like, good that at least we could agree
yeah,
about
it's
something.
Yeah, it's funny because we literally just spent like a good 30 minutes just arguing about UFC just to come on here, have no idea what we're going to say,
right,
and just agree
exactly.
on everything.
Exactly. Like, we didn't do like a little pre-interview, nothing. Yeah, so yeah. We definitely like went at it like not knowing who we picked each, but that's crazy.
Yeah,
like, we
that's,
both,
so yeah, that's like exact same pick, same round, same way of winning.
Yeah, I think the first fight, I think I had...
You may have changed it to the first...
I had it in the first round, possibly, like in the end of the first round.
Right,
yeah.
But it's going to be second.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised either way. Like, first or second round, I still think it's not going to be Chandler. But that's it. That's Chandler versus Tony Ferguson, Rose Namajunas versus Carla Esparza, and, of course, the big championship matchup of Justin Gaethje versus Charles Oliveira.
So what do you think will be next for...
That's the big question right there. For me, I think if Gaethje loses this, I think this might be his last championship chance in a while. Just because this is one of the toughest divisions.
It's already a lot of their last championship chances for a while. That's a
I don't
problem.
Know about Charles. Like, Charles could come back and Charles could, like, let's say Justin wins. It could be a Justin and Dustin fight next.
Yeah.
And then Charles could come back and fight the winner of that. You know, it could be a second fight. But if Gaethje loses and Charles wins, I don't know if they're going to put Dustin versus Gaethje again. They might have somebody else, maybe Chandler, possibly Mark Makachev.
Gaethje can't keep fighting Dustin and Chandler for the rest of his life.
Exactly, yeah. But Makachev is coming up in this
division.
I'll
be honest,
like,
I think Islam fights one of these four people on this card next, 100%. And whatever ones make sense, best sense. So, like, if maybe Chandler gets another fight at Oliveira, then I think he'll fight... Gaethje,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Islam versus
Gaethje,
or Islam versus Dustin. So I think, that's the thing, like, or Darush, like, this
Darush,
point, Darush
yeah,
is
I know,
gonna fight one of them.
I know, that's
he's got,
true,
because he's fought in
you know
top
what?
10,
for
but he
me,
hasn't fought top 5 yet.
I think the loser of this fight is gonna fight Darush, yeah, that's what I think. I think that's gonna be the fight, right?
Yeah,
there.
Because like you said, it has to be Darush, because at this point, like you said, Gaethje's not getting another championship fight. So ain't no point in putting you against Dustin Chandler or Alpacomer like Islam, because they're fighting for title contention.
Yeah.
So Darush is the perfect option.
And it's really sad, though, because the one guy we're really missing in this division is Khabib, man. Since Khabib left, I mean, this division hasn't really been the same. He left it in
shambles.
Shambles, though.
He literally came. And now, mind you, I'm always a little iffy about the claim of the GOAT. Because while he did fight some top contenders, he didn't fight all of them.
I get it. Yeah.
And but he basically came, ran through the division.
I mean, he did run through it.
He did.
Undefeated.
But ran through the division and then just walked away. Left it in shambles.
I would have liked him to stay maybe one or two more fights, but that's just my selfish opinion.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think he would have if his father didn't die. So
it's fine. And you know what, though? What he's doing now and bringing up all these other Russian fighters and obviously like training them and stuff. Obviously his brother's fighting as well. His cousin is in the UFC and he's also training Makhachev.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot of guys that he's training, and you know, who knows in the next year if you're going to see some of the guys that he's training be champions, and Makhachev could be one of them.
Yeah.
If he fights the champion next.
For sure. He has the best chance next.
Yeah. And that's for sure. And you know, that would be an interesting fight for me. I do think that, you know, That would possibly be one of the most interesting fights, other than a Justin versus Dustin fight again. Yes. I would like to see that again.
Yes.
But anyways, that was pretty much UFC 274. But real quick, before we ended it, I really wanted to talk about a little preliminary fight that's going to be going on, because it got pushed down to the prelims.
He was so mad.
I was a little upset when I heard about this card. We had a Bulgarian guy fighting in this card. I am from Bulgaria. And my man, Blagoy Ivanov, is going to be fighting Baga versus Marcos Rogério de Lima. It's going to be a heavyweight matchup, so it is going to be a good fight to watch. I do think it's going to end in a knockout. Blagoy, he's 18-4 with one non-contest, and Marcos is 19-8-1, and so it's going to be a good matchup. And Blagoy's last fight was almost 2 years ago, so we haven't seen him in the UFC. That's why a lot of people don't really hear about him.
And that's your Bulgarian homie?
That's the Bulgarian dude, and he's going to take this one. I think he's going to get this win and watch that, and that division is going to start moving. He's going to start moving up in that division. He's got a great record. And who knows? We'll see if he moves up in the top 10 after that.
Hey.
So got to throw
you
that.
You heard it, my man Blago. We got your back over here,
right,
man.
Right? So get that win, and we'll talk about you more. You know, we'll definitely keep talking about you, bro. So that was our UFC 274. Yes. I know you don't even know who I was talking about.
Blah, who? Like,
I know, but
I didn't know who you were talking about.
I mean,
but, hey,
but don't worry. Hey, watch the fight this weekend and you'll find out. Trust me. Trust me. My man, he gets a knockout. So thank you guys for watching this episode, though, of the UFC 274 pre-fight show. And if you guys want to listen to us, check us out wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to watch us, make sure you check us out on YouTube or on social media.
Exactly. You know how it is. We love fan interaction. We want you guys to comment, like, share. Just give us everything you got, or we give you everything we got, and we're going to keep taking this journey together.
Exactly. So make sure they keep giving you more content, and you guys keep checking us out. And we'll see you guys next time on Who You Got With
Mello
and Brado. See you guys next time.
Peace.